All right, everybody, let's come on in. It's 10 o'clock. We're going to get started with our lesson for this morning. First of all, I just want to thank everybody for coming out to Sunday school class at 10 o'clock. I know it's raining, a little kind of dreary out there, but you know what? It's all good. You know, we got to be grateful for the rain. You know what I mean? Grateful. I remember about 7 years ago, we had a bad drought in Georgia. I don't know if you all remember that. So just to see the rain come down is a blessing. But before we start this morning, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, you are so awesome and you are so good. And we again thank you for all of your blessings. Father, as our prayers go up, the blessings come down. And we are so grateful for you this morning, just for life itself. And I pray that you would just be with this lesson, Father. I pray that we will all feel inspired, that we will gain a little bit more information and knowledge about proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. We love you, God, and in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, everybody. Like Jeff said last week, we're going to be looking at 2 Peter today. Now, Jeff gave you a lot of the historic background, but I'm just kind of going to give you a little bit more just to kind of add to what I'm saying, because 1 Peter is a lot different than 2 Peter. All right, so let's talk about the background for a second. All right, 1 Peter is written to encourage the brothers and sisters throughout the churches, all right, because they were undergoing a terrible persecution at the time. And he was encouraging them to stay faithful and focus on the hereafter. Because so oftentimes as disciples, what we see in front of us, it might not look good, but we got to always have that hope. And that's what Peter was doing in 1 Peter. He reminded them of the hope that we're going to heaven. Like, look, your life is not just what it is now, but one day, just think, you're going to be going to heaven. You're going to be able to worship the Lamb in the presence of God. I mean, that's just encouraging. And also 2 Peter, it deals with growth, all right? Growth, false doctrine, and the supremacy of Christ. So I have a question for you. I'm a teacher, I'm an educator, so I always like to ask questions. Now, we see where 1 Peter was going, and then we see the direction of 2 Peter. So my question for everybody today, the class, all right, what do you think happened during 2 to 3 year time period that motivated Peter to write this letter? What do you think changed the direction of the letter? I mean, you think about it, from talking about the struggle, from talking about the hope of going to heaven, but now you have a letter that is dealing with false doctrine and growth. So anybody raise your hand if you want to comment. What do you think happened during that 2 to 3 time year period? All right, Zach?
A bunch of false teachings.
Okay, false teachings, okay. A lot of things on the scene. Okay, I got a little gift for you. Here go a piece of peppermint. All right. You know, there are studies that say peppermint actually help you to have attention and focus more. I know, Zach, you know this. You're a science person. Okay, what about you, Mr. Grubb?
I'm thinking it's laziness of life, you know, how we come on strong and eventually we fade. And I got another answer.
Okay. Just one person. No? Okay, so laziness, and what was your second part? Oh, okay. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, Perry?
Well, maybe they had come through the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so to get through that suffering, maybe they told themselves a lot of things that weren't true. And in that second letter, he had to address the fact that just because things are calming now, you don't take your foot off the gas. You have to still grow and...
Wow.
Even though circumstances have lightened up a bit.
Right, great answer. Woo, y'all some smart students, boy. Y'all smart, very smart. Now, this is what I think, and this is just, you know, now that's me when I was about 12 years old, okay? All right, first of all, okay, this is just my opinion, all right? You know, Peter knew that false teachings were present in the church, and he had to deal with it. And you just think the church had just gotten started so quickly, there were already people who were contradicting the word of truth. And also, Peter cared for the church, and he knew how Satan could work in the hearts of the saints. And also, Peter might even remember the words that Jesus spoke when he warned them about false teachers. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so to be led astray, if possible, even the elect." So Peter might even remember what Jesus had spoke. With everything else that the brother said and everything else that was going on in the church, there was a lot of reasons for this letter, because it was a need in the church. Some more background. 2 Peter written 2 to 3 years after 1 Peter. Now, a lot of religious scholars are even debating if Peter even wrote the book, all right? But I don't go down that road. I believe that it's Peter, all right? That's what I see in the Bible. And also, Peter knew that this time was short. I mean, think about it. When Peter wrote this, they say he was in a prison in probably in Rome at the time. So he knew that his time was short. So he had to realize that, hey, look, we have to get out there, and I have to deal with this before it gets out of control. And also, the focus of this book is mainly on internal challenges inside, not so much the outside, but internal challenges as a Christian. Because when you're faced with these obstacles, what are you going to do to stand firm in your faith? Especially dealing with false teachers, because it's about you. How do you respond to that? And also, causing disciples to doubt their faith. Because what was going on in the church, a lot of brothers and sisters at the time, you figure with all of this coming at them, were probably struggling in their faith. And you think about it, a lot of these guys were probably Jewish. A lot of them were Gentiles. I mean, so they came from different backgrounds. So with all of this going on, a lot of brothers and sisters might started to doubt their faith. And also, the way I look at it, this was a prophet. You know, we see a lot of times in the Bible that Peter, you know, he was the bold one. And I feel like Peter put on his prophet shoes for this book. And he wrote this to tell the people about what's happening and what's going to come. Because a lot of the language in this book is in the future tense, but it was going on in the church at the time as well. And also, Peter was pushing back the attack against the gospel. Because, see, when people start to denounce Christ, when people start to say things that aren't biblical or spiritual that contradict the word of God, if we do not say nothing, we're accepting that. But Peter, he was, man, pushing back on that. He said, I don't care what these false guys or teachers are teaching you all, but I'm pushing back against that because I know who's Lord of my life and why we were saved. And the way that I look at this is like Peter was the protector of the Christ legacy. Because Peter was not going to let anything get in the way of what he believed and also in what his brothers and sisters believed in the church. And this is just a picture I got. We all like superheroes. And this is my picture. This is what I think about Peter. He's protecting the gospel. You know, he's a soldier for the Lord, protecting the word of God. He didn't want anyone to get in line with it. So the main theme, and we're going to look at verse 3-4. Now, what I'm covering is only about 10 scriptures this morning. All right, so let's start in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3-4. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by His evil desires. Now, again, just like I gave you that background, you got to think about the brothers and the sisters in that church, how they felt about this. So what is he talking about here? Let's just break this scripture down real quick. First of all, Peter helps his readers to what? Focus on Jesus. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. He wanted his readers, hey, forget all of these false teachers right now, but focus on Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And he wanted them to focus on his divine power because Jesus, the glory of God, and I know some commentary said that Peter wrote about this because he actually saw God's glory. Remember when he went up on a mountain with two other brothers and they saw the glory of God when Moses and Elijah came down? So he actually saw that. He saw the glory of God when Jesus ascended back into heaven. So Peter was an eyewitness to that, and he wanted his brothers and sisters to never to forget that. And the cool thing about this divine power, it only occurs only two times in the whole entire New Testament, in verse 3 and in verse 4, when it refers to the divine power of God. All right, then he talks about godliness. And basically, the godliness here is the realization of God's abiding presence. So Peter wanted his brothers and sisters to understand, hey, look, God is with us. God is with us 24/7. And then I love the little part when he said, God has given us everything that we need. And so sometimes as Christians, as disciples, we want to reach for more. But you know what? Jesus is everything. I heard a song this morning by Israel Horton, and I was in the park praying, and it was a good song. It said, Jesus is the center. Jesus is the center of my heart, and he's the center of heaven. And basically what the song was talking about, that Jesus is everything to me. Everything. And that's what he wanted his brothers and sisters to focus on. Because I say, with distractions of life, with different things going on, we can forget that even as disciples sometimes. But we got to understand that Jesus has given us everything. So when we're going through struggles, you know what? Jesus has given us a way out. When we're tempted, Jesus has given us a way out. When we are blessed, that's because of Jesus and God's grace. I mean, all of these different things, Jesus has given us everything that we need for eternal life. So in verse 5, and that was just the introduction, I love how he gets the church to focus on Jesus. It's not about anything else, but it's about Jesus Christ and his deity. And in verse 5, it says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting what they have been cleansed by their past sins." So let's talk about this scripture. In this part, I talk about growing spiritually. Because right here, Peter had to make sure that the brothers and sisters understood, man, hey, look, we have to grow in our faith. We have to grow in our faith. And he lists several things on this little, I call it the hierarchy of needs right here, all right? So if you look at this, it says faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then you look at love. And it says each grace being assumed becomes a stepping stone for the succeeding grace. All right? So if you just look at that chart, but then you see the bottom, it says faith. We'll talk about that in a second, and love. There's six things in between that, six graces. All right? But I love this because the theme is not about the order, but Christians should pursue growth. Each and every single day, we should pursue growth. We shouldn't get to the point where we feel that we're complacent in our relationship with God, but each and every single day, we need to fight to grow spiritually. We need to fight to be in our word. We need to fight to be connected with God so we can grow. So we won't be at the same place that we are today, next week, or even 2 years or 5 years up the road. But God wants us to grow. And that's what Peter was focusing on here. So we're going to just break this down a little bit. The first foundation is faith. And I love this wall because faith is the foundation. Faith is the foundation of everything. And that's where Peter starts off. He reminds the brothers and sisters that, hey, look, it starts with your belief in Christ. It starts with your belief that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. It starts with the belief that Jesus raised from the dead. I mean, that's where it all starts. I mean, you can start it with all these other things, but without a strong sense of faith, nothing else matters. You got to start it off with faith. And Peter said, hey, that is the foundation, brothers and sisters. So don't remember that. Because what was going on with the false teachers, they were going after the faith of our brothers and sisters. But it starts off with faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Because later on, and this is, you know, later on in the Jeff will talk about this later on, some of the religious false teachers was going after Jesus' deity. They were saying that he was not the Son of God, different things like that, that he was flesh. He was just like you and I, but the Spirit was good and all this kind of stuff. We'll talk about that later with Jeff Will next week. And also the supremacy of Jesus. This was a major issue because a lot of people, false teachers, were attacking the supremacy of Jesus Christ at the time. But if you read in John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus talks about how he has equality with God. If you look at John chapter 8, Jesus says, "I am." And that's the same thing that Jesus, God said in Exodus with Moses. So the supremacy of Christ was something that some of the false teachers was trying to go after, but it starts off with a solid foundation of faith. And even as Christians to say, brothers and sisters, we got to always remember that. We have to always remember that our faith is something precious. So oftentimes, like I said, we can get so overwhelmed by different things, we forget about just our faith. But our faith, God, is precious. That Jesus has considered us worthy to be his disciples, that his sons, his daughters, that's something that we should not take lightly. And that's what Peter was addressing with the brothers and sisters. All right, now, do you want to go a little deeper? Just a little deeper. Do y'all want to go a little deeper? Not too deep, you know, because the too deep will confuse myself. But just a little deep, okay? Are you reading all this stuff? But this is kind of cool because it talks about add to. Now, a lot of times the English rendition of add to doesn't really give it justice. But the add to in the Greek really means to supply, furnish, or to render. Now, if you break rendering down, rendering in the Greek means bringing in side by side. So what Peter is actually saying is that your faith, your growing, different things that's on that chart, it should be with us every single day. That it should, when we walk, people should see our faithfulness. People should see, you know, our patience. People should see our love, that it should be right by our side wherever we go. And that's how we grow. So as disciples, do people see that in us? Let's just take patience. You know what I'm saying? Just something just on the chart. When we walk, when we deal with other people, our coworkers, our kids, our wives, husbands, whatever, it's patience right by our side. It's love right by our side. So what Peter was getting to understand is all about growth, guys. This stuff is very important. And I love this little notion. It says, God gives us his blessings and forgiveness for free. Because, again, it's not about works. I don't want you all to think that it's about works, but it's not. It says, God gives us his blessing and his forgiveness for free, but man renders or supplies a service considering the benefits that he has received. So basically what that means is that because I'm so grateful for what God has done, I display these qualities in my life. Is it a legalistic mindset? No, by no means. But because I'm a Christian, my faith is strong, my faith is solid, these qualities are displayed throughout my life on a day-to-day basis. All right, so let's talk about knowledge, all right? Knowledge in this particular passage, okay, well, goodness and knowledge, we're going to talk about virtue first. And virtue, that's the King James Version. It says virtue is just a habitual and firm disposition to do good. And one version said it's just a moral excellence. When you're virtue, when you have goodness, you know, you make better decisions. You just want to do good. You just want to do what God wants you to do. You want to do the right thing. So if we're going up that chart, this is the thing. So our faith should produce that, because if we have faith in Jesus Christ, guess what? We should be motivated to do the good thing like Jesus wants us to. So if someone's coming at me with some nonsense, if I'm trying to do good, I'm going to treat that person right. I'm not going to go off. I'm not going to do anything like that, because, again, I'm representing Christ. Virtue. Knowledge. Bless you. There's two different forms of this now. There's the Greek version and the Hebrew version. Now, the Greek knowledge is referring to the metaphysical nature of things, religious implications. They were always seeking that type of knowledge, like their different gods that they served. But see, the Hebrew form of knowledge is about a relationship. And see, and that's what Peter is saying here. He's using the Hebrew text of knowledge, which is yedo. All right, I just had to pronounce it a couple ways so I would have messed it up. And it's about relationship. Relationship knowledge. So Peter wants us to understand that in our growth, we should seek to have a more intimate relationship with God. We should seek that. That's part of our growth. Because let's say if I'm an athlete, in order to grow, I need to train. I need to run, I need to work out, or do whatever. But see, in order to grow spiritually, in our relationship with God, we need to be getting deep into God's word, caring for people, you know, praying, fasting, or whatever it might need to, so you could develop that intimate relationship with our Father. Now, I'm not here to tell you that there's times to do it. You know, I mean, I like the morning time. I know for me, I like to go on prayer walks when I can, when the pollen's not messing with me. I mean, I love doing it. It just makes me connect more. But see, that's part of that knowledge. We're getting to know God so much better. And that's what God is saying, Peter is saying here when it comes to knowledge. Now, it's talking about add to your knowledge. Now, we're going to look at self-control and perseverance. All right? Self-control. In another form, another version I looked at is called self-government, all right? So basically what you're doing is self-control, and this is by a famous Greek author, so famous I don't know his name, okay? It just said famous Greek author. Self-control is bearing up against evil and continuing steadfast under them. I love that. So basically what that means is that when evil is all around you, you might be tempted to go down that road. But when you're having self-control or self-government in your life, guess what? It's going to motivate you to make a better decision. Because why? You understand that this is part of spiritual growth. Because if I go down this wrong road, guess what happened? I'm going to be in sin. But self-government means that you're making decisions that is in line with God's grace. You're making decisions that align with God's word. And see, and it's hard. It's hard sometimes. Because I know I've been in situations where you just want to just say something that you shouldn't be saying to somebody at times. Or somebody might do wrong to you and you just want to react in a certain way. But see, if you're displaying this character trait of growth, guess what? You're going to hold up under when evil comes against you. And we can apply that to our life. We can apply it to everything. And again, think about it, guys. The situation in the background that Peter was writing to, these guys were going through a lot. Because even though he doesn't talk about persecution, you know persecution was still going on. But he says, man, you still have to have self-control. You still have to implement that in your character. That's part of that self-government, and that's part of that spiritual growth. And some false teachers, you know, anything was permissible because the body was evil. And this was a major doctrine back then. They said the body was naturally evil, so guess what? Anything was permissible. And this was something that was going on. So instead of me refraining from certain sins, hey, the body is evil, so I'm all right. I can hang out at the temple with all the shrine prostitutes. Hopefully no kids are in here. I can do these different things because the body is basically evil. But Peter said, hey, no, man, you got to have self-control. That's part of the spiritual growth. In the same way for us today, when we say Jesus Lord, we still got to have self-control. Amen? I mean, it's just the Bible, y'all. Okay? Okay? Now let's talk about perseverance. Perseverance. Persevering means to keep going through a hard time without giving up. You know, and that's a term that we use today, persevere. I mean, it's common. We talk about perseverance. Perseverance through the storm, persevering through challenges. So when things get tough, when you doubt, I remember about 12 years ago, probably about 14 years ago, about 12 years ago, I was really doubting my faith in God, that God really even existed. I'm sorry, it was about 16 years ago, and it makes sense because it's 16 years ago. And the time frame makes sense, and this is the reason why. Because I was going through a time where I was praying for a lot of different things, but I wanted God just to act, and move. And it got to the point where I started doubting in my faith, like, God, do you really exist? And I had been a disciple for almost 15 years at the time. Well, yeah, at the time, so I was doubting things. I'm like, God, I'm praying to the sky. Are you up there? I mean, these are the kind of things I was thinking in my head. I wouldn't really verbalize them to anybody, but I was thinking like that. God, do you really exist? And one of the reasons why is because I was just tired of persevering. It's like, man, I'm seeing other people doing things, and I didn't see the blessing in my life. Have you ever been there? You know, you see people getting their dreams restored and, you know, man, blessing them. Even people who weren't Christians, they're doing all these things. And I'm like, God, what about me? I'm struggling. I'm struggling just to pay rent. I'm struggling just to pay my mortgage. But see, I didn't want to give up from my faith, but I feel like in my heart I already had given up in a way. because I didn't really understand that, man, this walk is about persevering. That God is not going to have everything just laid out for me like I want to all the time. When I go through different trials, man, I got to just, man, put on the big boy pants and get on my knees and pray. And that's what happened, and it kind of restored me. And, I'm, you know, I bounced back, and I'm still here. Amen. You know, but perseverance is deep. So he said, add to godliness, mutual affection, and connectedness. All right? So godliness includes the character and the qualities of a worship of God. And that's just very simple. Godliness. This Christ, again, do you represent Christ wherever you go? When people see you, do they see Jesus? If they're going through something hard, do they know they can talk to you because you have integrity? I mean, godliness. I remember growing up, I knew people like that. I remember a guy named Elder Wilson. Elder Wilson was like that. He was just a godly man. When he preached for about 4 or 5 hours. I mean, he was very long-winded. But I knew that he was a godly man. I knew that when I talked to him, he was going to give me spiritual advice, and I saw God in him because he just loved God. And see, as I get older, I want to be like that for younger people, for my wife, for my daughter, you know, for my family. Just godliness, represent God wherever I go. And then, now the NIV says mutual affection. I like the King James Version. It says mutual kindness. One version says mutual kindness. I like that better. Mutual affection was kind of, okay, what is, but the bottom line is being connected. Being connected, all right? Mutual kindness means being connected to your brothers and to your sisters. Qualities of godliness must not be self-centered. See, it's easy to get everything for yourself because we have so much as Christians. God has given us so much. But see, when you're connected to people, that means you care for others like you care for yourself. Caring for all men, not just believers. And this is a challenge. You know, do I care for my brother in the church like I care for my brother, you know, who I work with? But see, that mutual affection is displayed all over. It represents who you are. And then the last thing on the chart, it says love. God is love in 1 John 4:8. The Greek word for love is agape. And we all know about that. It's that selfless, sacrificial concern for the good of others. And also it shows how you embrace other people. So Peter, despite everything that was going on with the persecution, with the false teachers, guess what he said? You got to love on top of all of that. So think about it. If you were in a church back then and you read this, with all of this, that brother might have hated that false teacher. Why are you coming into this church, man? Why are you doing these things? But in order to be like God, you still have to love. You might not love his actions, but you can't love, you know, this. I mean, you can't just diss him as a person because he's a sinner. But love covers over everything, guys. So that was that chart. So that's why Peter said, hey, man, you got to grow. You got to be working on these things because these qualities, again, need to be what? Right by your side wherever you go. When you walk into your job, it needs to be there. Back then, when they walked into the temple, you know, when they were getting persecuted, those qualities still need to be right by their side because that's what God intended for them to do and also where they wanted to be and grow. All right? I like this little picture right here. It says, I love you more. No, I love you more. You know, they're just going back at it. And wouldn't that be something we would like that in our marriages? I know, like, I love you more. I love you more. I know my wife, we play like that. You know, but I know sometimes, like, man, we go back and forth. But wouldn't it be awesome if we did that all the time? You know what I mean? Well, we just fought just so I can love you, love you, love you. Our brothers, our sisters, we were just fighting to love, love, love. Oh, man, that would just make things so awesome. All right, so, like I said, it's just about 8 or 9 verses, y'all. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. And this is... It says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting what they have been cleansed from in their past sins. So Peter said, man, if you work on these qualities, if you keep working on these qualities, you will be productive. You will be productive in your walk with God. When temptation comes at you, you will have the tools that you need to stand strong in the faith. But if you don't, he says, you're going to be nearsighted. And I'm up here this morning with glasses, all right? About 3 years ago, my dad came. My dad, I think he's 70, or he was probably about 68 at the time. And he had on some reading glasses. And I was like, Dad, you wear glasses. You look so funny. I'm laughing at him. You know, we have that kind of relationship. And then I noticed about a year ago, I started reading the Bible, the little fine print. I'm like, oh, man, something must be wrong with this Bible. You know what I mean? It must be a misprint or something, because these words don't look the same. So I found myself like, uh-oh, I have trouble with my words. You know, I can't hardly see, so I had to get the big letter Bible. And I fear I walk around with a big 2-pound Bible now because I can't see without my glasses. So why do I say that? Because that's what happens to us when we forget, when we're not growing about God. We get nearsighted. And see, with nearsightedness, you really can't see, you know, up here. And see, so oftentimes when things are going on, we can't see the big picture. And I don't know if you all remember this little guy. If you're, you know, in your late 30s, early 40s, or older, you know, that's Mr. Magoo. Mr. Magoo couldn't see anything without his glasses. Even when he had glasses, I remember he had like some 5, you know, foot thick glasses or something like that when he walked around. He was a cartoon character growing up. But the deal about it is, guys, we're not growing. That's what happens. We cannot see or we cannot remember what God has done in our lives. We can't remember how God took us out of the mud and the mire and placed us on solid ground. We can't remember how our life was before we were a disciple. And that sometimes we start to think, oh, I wasn't that bad as a disciple before I was a disciple. We forget. And see, if we're not continually growing in our word, we forget where we came from. Or we forget about the power of God. Even when we're going through hard times, if we're not growing, guess what? We forget about the past victories that God has done in our lives. Because all of us have had challenges. We're going to continue to have challenges. But guess what? When we forget, we don't remember how God worked in that situation. How God worked in 1998 when I was struggling, when I wasn't doing nothing, but God saved my soul. When I was going through health issues in 2005, I can't remember, but when God saved me and blessed my life. See, we forget all of those things when we don't grow. We become nearsighted. But can't never forget, guys. And think about Peter's perspective, how he was reminding our brothers and sisters, don't forget. Don't forget. That's why growth is so important. Because, see, when you're growing spiritually, it's fresh. God keeps it on your heart and on your mind. I only see what's in front of you, the hype of the moment. And see, what was going on probably in the church, and this is just my speculation, that people who didn't have deep convictions in the word, when these false teachers came through talking about these things, because they didn't have roots, they were excited about it. Wow, new teaching. Wow, our body is evil. We can do whatever. You know what I mean? Because they didn't have the conviction. Hype. New, fresh. And that's what happens when we stop growing. New teachings, because you probably know people who go from church to church. I'm not talking about our church, but just church to church. They're always looking for the next thing, the next new thing. I think that's somebody's motto, the new thing. See, new teachings is like fresh to people sometimes. They just want to try it. But again, when you don't grow, all of this stuff becomes real things that you're dealing with. Fads, you know, just New things that are coming through, jumping on a bandwagon. New teachings. Then to close out, 2 Peter chapter 1, these three scriptures, it says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." See, again, Peter called our brothers and sisters to remember their calling. He wanted them to understand they can never, ever forget where you came from. Never, ever forget what God has done for you in your life. Never, ever forget what God saved you from and where God is going to take you. And how they couldn't just live how they wanted, but they had to live according to God's word. You know, then there was a big false doctrine. Let me put it right here. It's called antinomianism. All right? Big word. I had never heard this. It's rejected any law. This was a big thing that was going on. So again, you got to remember the mindset, the background of what was going on. You had all these different things coming at our brothers and sisters. And that's why Peter was focusing on them growing spiritually in their relationship with God. So the takeaways from today. What I want you to take away, what did I take away from studying out these scriptures? First of all, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. Don't let no one take that away from you. God has given you everything. Even when you feel like he hasn't, just fight that thought. Say, get out of here. Get in that Bible. Get on your knees. Go pray. Because God has given you everything that you need for eternal life. And also, we can never forget about the divine nature of Christ who we serve. We cannot forget about the Lord that we serve, that Jesus is Lord of our life. And also, as Christians, we have to fight to add to our learning daily. Now, I didn't say once a week or at church time, but every day we have to fight to grow and to get in God's word. So thank you so much, everybody. You know, even my little flowers, you know, peace and love. You know, please pick up your kids and also smile, guys. We got to continue to grow in God's word. Thank you, everybody.